read this psalm together. This Sunday for us is a celebration of the God that has been working in us, in our congregation specifically, for 175 years, which is pretty amazing. But he's been at work in the history of his church for 2,000 years since Jesus, and even longer than that in the people of Israel. This is a God that has taken it upon himself not only to create a world, but to redeem it from its brokenness. And so these last two psalms that we're going to be reading together, I couldn't pass up 148. I just had 150 planned, and then I looked at 148, and I had to do this one too. They're both these sweeping calls to praise. They're both hallelujah psalms, which means they begin and end with the Hebrew phrase, hallelujah. Now, in English, that's praise the Lord. So this is the way we're going to read this. I'm going to start out the first line, praise the Lord, and then you can come back with the Hebrew phrase, hallelujah. And then we'll read the psalm kind of responsively in a call and response kind of way. But when you say hallelujah, please don't say it like this. Hallelujah. I mean, this is a praise ye the Lord. When you read this psalm, this is a call to every creature in all of creation to worship God. So read it like that. Ready? Psalm 148. Go ahead, hit the next slide there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels.
Praise him, all his heavenly hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens.
And you waters above the skies.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created.
And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds.
Stormy winds that do his bidding.
You mountains and all hills.
Root trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle.
Small creatures and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all nations.
You princes and all rulers on earth.
Young men and women.
Old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord. And he has raised up for his people a horn.
Praise of all his faithful servants, Israel, and you will close his heart.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One more, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God in his sanctuary.
Praise him in his mighty heavens.
Praise him for his acts of power.
Praise him for his surpassing greatness.
Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing.
Praise him with the strings and pipes.
Praise him with the clash of cymbals.
Praise him with the sounding cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. So Psalm 148 and 150, they're not next to each other, but they're pretty nearly a pair. Psalm 148 is a call for every part of God's creation to praise him. It's kind of like what we do when we sing the doxology. You notice that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. It's a call for every part of creation to worship. Now in the psalm, it starts with the heavens. You praise him, all his angels. Praise him, sun, moon, and stars. Why? Because God has established them. He created them. He gave them life. People have been looking at the stars for thousands of years, and they've just been marveling and wondering. Because the stars don't seem to change. The stars that we look at today are pretty much the same ones that people were looking at 4,000 years ago. And yet, they had a birth. Each one of those stars had a beginning, and it was God that gave them their existence. The angels are the same way, and possibly even older than the stars are. They have been worshiping at the throne of God for thousands, even millions of years, if there are things called years in heaven. They've just been there, surrounding his throne, falling down in worship to the one that created them, because they know they were made to worship, and that's what they delight to do. Now, you might wonder whether stars can really worship. I mean, they don't have brains. They don't have consciousness, as far as we're aware. And yet, Psalm 19 says, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they declare knowledge. And there's no language or speech where their voice is not heard. Stars, just by the sheer splendor of their beauty, cannot help but declare the greatness of the one that created them. And after all, what is praise except declaring the greatness of God? You can say something similar about the sea and the storm, these terrible forces in our world that are completely out of our control, but are not out of God's control. They point to a God who is fearsome and who is sovereign and who is majestic. We could point to the beauty and the majesty of mountains and hills. We could point to the life and the intricacy of every living thing. But there is something unique about us, isn't there? We were created uniquely in the image of God to be aware of Him, to know Him, to see Him that created us, and to adore Him. Romans 1 says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Every human being, you know, whether kings or peasants, whether old men or young, whether men or women, every human being on the face of the earth can rightly be called to worship his creator. And nobody can say, I've never heard of him. Who is that? Because you can look around and see his splendor on display in his creation. So verse 13 then of Psalm 148 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. His beauty, his majesty, his power are on display for his worship. Now, human beings did not do a very good job worshiping as a general rule, as Romans 1 goes on to say. Even though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Instead of worshiping God, they turned to sin. They turned to their own ways. Now, that could have been a major blow to God's worship. But instead, God decided to take that as an opportunity to enhance his worship. Because he didn't leave us in our sin. He didn't leave us wandering far from him. He came down, he sent his son Jesus into the world so that he could bring us back to him. And so, verse 14 says, he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, a people close to his heart. This horn is a ruler. It's somebody that's powerful, that saves his people. And that's who Jesus is. See, God didn't just create us, and we don't only worship him because he created us, but we worship him again and doubly because he saved us, because he redeemed us by the blood of his own son. And so now, Psalm 150 calls us to use every means within our power to worship him. And I love the fullness of this picture. It doesn't say just, okay, here's the right way to worship him. That's all you get. And that's the only way to worship God. It lists method after method. You worship him with trumpet, with harp and lyre, with tambourine and dancing, with strings and flute and clashing cymbals. Praise him in all these different ways. I think we could learn something from this. You know, we could step up our worship. You know, we could worship him in so many different ways. We don't do dancing here so much, right? I've never seen somebody dance in this church. But that's a completely legitimate way to worship. You know, the trumpet. You know, I know we've got a couple of people that play trumpet, right? Strings, cymbals, harp. Whatever the organ count says. I don't see electronic harp or electronic organ on there, but I'm pretty sure if this has been written in the 21st century, they would have said with the electronic harp. Keep calling that thing a harp. It doesn't look like a harp. worship him with the electronic organ too. Right? When Israel worshiped God, they worshiped him loud. You know, they didn't just, kind of stand still and, quietly eke out some praises, because they knew what God had done for them. They knew what it was to be a people in slavery and to be rescued out of it. They knew what it was to be oppressed by enemies and to have God come and rescue them from their enemies. And so when they worshiped with passion, because they immediately grasped what God had done for them. Now, some of us I know are kind of contemplative people. We like to think about things. We kind of speak softly sometimes. We like, when we're worshiping, we like to take some time to quietly reflect on who God is. And that's great. It really is. I like doing that also. That's the meditating part that we see over and over again in the Psalms. But at some point, it's got to overflow in praise. At some point, it's got to explode in this burst of worship, this passionate energy for God. You know, if you ever go to a sporting event, you go to a basketball game or a football game, somebody makes this, catch that runs it back for a 50-yard touchdown, people don't say, "Oh, well done. Good job." I mean, people go crazy. They clap, they cheer. You know, if people are excited, they pour their hearts into it. We can worship God like that. You know, we can worship him with shouting and with dancing and with clapping and with singing and with telling everybody about it. God didn't just make a great catch. He created the universe. He didn't make a touchdown. He saved our souls from being lost from him for eternity. This is a God worth being excited about. We were created to worship him. We were created to love him and to express that love. That's why we exist. This is what your life is about. Now I'm going to go ahead and call our musicians on up. We don't have all of these instruments here present, but we've got a flute, we've got some strings, guitar, we've got the organ, whatever category that fits under. We've got some cymbals, and we've got some voices. So why don't you stand with us, and we are going to worship him with passion this morning.